Mike and Trisha Mornings Podcast. Real, live, local.
Okay, you got it in you to quiz me on celebrity birthdays?
I do.
Okay, girl. Okay. Let me at it.
You share your birthday with this 50-year-old. He's a singer. He's a songwriter. He's married to Nicole Kidman.
Oh, yeah. That makes him Keith Urban.
Keith Urban. 50.
Keith and I have a lot in common.
You do?
Yes. I mean, you know, besides, you know, being around the same age group.
Right.
He also wears nothing but T-shirts.
Does he?
You notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing but T-shirts,
She's
man.
She's always really dressed up, and he's not.
Uh-huh.
Ever.
He's always wearing some kind of a rock and roll T-shirt or some kind of a T-shirt with some kind of a logo on it.
It's true.
And he and I both love the Bee Gees.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, when they had that Bee Gees special, I think it was like 3 or 4 months ago.
Right.
Best Bee Gees cover I have ever heard. Okay, maybe not ever, but since Al Green in the 70s, when he did To Love Somebody.
I'm a man. Can't you see I am? I live and I breathe for you.
Sing it, Keith.
If I ain't got you,
isn't this beautiful?
It is.
You, baby.
You don't know what it's like.
Me and Keith, I told you we had a lot of comments.
You don't know what it's like.
We harmonize so well together.
Little somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Little somebody. The way I love you.
That's probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Bee Gees songs ever.
Oh, man, you know, since Al Green in the 70s when he did How Can You Mend a Broken Heart?
Yeah.
That's been like the best Bee Gees cover ever. But this Keith Urban?
Right up there.
Number two on my list.
Yep. You also share your birthday with this 44-year-old. He's an actor. He's a writer. He's responsible for Family Guy and Ted. He's also the guy who called out Harvey Weinstein at the Oscars a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I love that. Seth MacFarlane. Who does a lot of the voices on The Family Guy. Like, for example, he does Stewie.
So I'm thinking about getting my ears pierced. You know, big black gauges. And then I can just work at a bike shop forever.
He also does that pervert, Quagmire.
All right.
He does the dog, Brian.
You know what else is beautiful? My bank account. Boom! Rich guy.
And he does Peter. Here's a clip of Peter doing what we do for a living.
95.5 WPET, you got Peter the Riff Griff shocking you and rocking you while I'm sitting here talking to you. It's 75 and sunny, which means our street squad's going to be out looking for them super stickers. If you don't got one, get down to Linoleum Depot this Saturday from 9 to 2. I'll be there hooking you up. Slap one on your car, win $100. Now I'm looking around and I'm seeing the spin doctors with not one, but two princes. Nailed it.
I love that.
That is so
I love that. Because I remember when I used to be in the air chair. Rocking and rolling.
On the wheels of steel.
That's right.
Lord. I love it. That's hilarious. And then you also share your birthday with this 70-year-old. You know, she's probably never going to be, you know, very famous.
Mm-hmm.
You might have heard of her.
Mm.
She ran for president.
Ah, yes, and failed miserably.
Failed miserably.
Oh, my gosh, man. It was right up there with the Titanic.
Golly.
That would be Hillary Clinton.
She's 70 today.
She was on a British talk show last week, and she admitted that she and Bill tried to get out of going to Trump's inauguration. Here's what she said. Here's how she explained it.
You know, we thought, okay, maybe others aren't going. So, you know, we called. We called the Bushes, and the elder Bushes were in the hospital, which I think was legitimate. And so then, you know, we called the younger Bushes, and they said, yeah, we're going. We called the Carters. They said, yeah, we're going. So, you know, Bill and I looked at each other and said, well, we got to go. Oh, my gosh. George W. Bush, as it ends, says, that was some weird
You know, I hate to say, you know, maybe she should have been more dignified, because it's just, there's nothing dignified about it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can't blame her.
Right. You know? Yeah. Well, you know, at that point, we didn't know how undignified the presidency would become.
Lord.
You know, so anyway, I thought that was hilarious.
That is hilarious.
It's Mike and Tricia Mornings on 93.1 KISS FM. Happy Thursday. Happy birthday.
KISS FM. Here's what's trending now.
A couple of locals are trending this morning. Not just Khalid, but a couple of others. One of them is Johnny Cash, the police dog.
Johnny Cash, the police dog.
Johnny Cash, the police dog. He's part of the police department, the El Paso Police Department, canine unit. And this morning I saw in the El Paso Times where Johnny Cash, the police dog, who's become, he's got like a bit of a cult following because the El Paso Police Department has been featured in a couple of episodes of Live PD.
That's right. That's right.
Live PD on A&E. It's kind of like cops on steroids.
Right.
Because it's more than one police department that they follow. And some time ago, they followed the El Paso Police Department, and one of them was Johnny the police dog. He had been called some kind of a burglary kind of thing. And so Johnny the police dog has become like this, like people are like, hey, we need more Johnny. Well, it turns out that earlier this week, Johnny the police dog here in El Paso nabbed some dude that was hiding inside the Kmart in Northeast El Paso.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I believe it's closed, right? That Kmart is closed? Yeah. And Johnny the police dog sniffed him out.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And so Johnny the police dog is what's trending this morning.
Oh, that's cool.
Here in El Paso. Not just because he's an A&E superstar, but also because he's a canine. Because
he's doing his job.
That's right. And then the other guy that's trending this morning is A-A-Ron. A-A-Ron, former minor.
Yep.
Aaron Jones, now with the Green Bay Packers.
He's been nominated for the NFL's Rookie of the Week and Ground Player of the Week the second time in 3 weeks because of his career-high 131 yards against the New Orleans Saints. Now, for Rookie of the Week, the other nominees are Chicago's Eddie Jackson, Tampa Bay's O.J. Howard, New York Jets' Jamal Adams, and Kansas City's Kareem Hunt.
Oh, wow. That Kareem Hunt is having like a rookie season,
big
man.
Big time. Now, for Ground Player of the Week, he's up against the Steelers' Le'Veon Bell, rather, and then the Cowboys' Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah. Well, look, I hope he wins the Rookie of the Week, but Ezekiel should be the ground player. Because we're basing this in statistics.
Right.
Well, at least I am.
Right.
And he had a much better game. Ezekiel went over 200 yards, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Did he? I mean, I think he did. And he scored a couple of times. So I think Ezekiel should win that one.
I think so,
and then
too.
A-A-Ron can have the other one.
He can have the Rookie of the Week.
But, hats off to A-A-Ron.
He's doing
great.
I'm
a Cowboys fan. I know A-A-Ron is, too. Prior to that 131 yards that he had last weekend, his career high was against the Dallas Cowboys. He hit him up for 125 yards. And so he's also going to be, like tomorrow, he's going to be at the Burgess game.
Right.
And then Saturday, he's going to be rooting on his bro at the UTEP game.
Yeah.
And it's also bobblehead night, Legends night. And so, you know, the first 1,000 will get a bobblehead of his.
That's super cool.
Or the first 990, because I'm sure he already has dibs on some for his family and for himself.
Probably, as well he should.
Yesterday, he paid the kids at Las Palmas a visit, and here's what he had to say to one of the TV stations about that.
The kids here are kind of down, so I'm just here to lift up their spirits and encourage them and let them know everything's going to be okay, and I'm here to help any way I can.
That's cool, dude.
Nice guy.
Really cool, bro. Appreciate that. And the reason why he's in town is because the Packers have a bye week.
Right.
Mike and Tricia Mornings on 93.1 KISS FM. All right. Who wants to read something not scary using their scariest voice? Because it's Hollow Week on the show, and it's time for some Hollow winning. 4-pack of tickets to El Paso's Corn Maze, 880-9393. Find something to read that's not so scary, but you're going to make it scary with your scariest voice.
KISS FM. And now, back to Mike and Tricia Mornings on 93.1 KISS FM.
Hi, Marcus.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Happy Halloween, Marcus.
Hey, I'm doing this for Patty. This is what's going to heal her. She hasn't healed all week.
Okay. All right.
I mean, she's got the sexy down, but I miss my old Patty.
Okay, so Marcus has the healing scary voice. Okay, man, what are you going to read for us that's not scary?
You're mocking me. You wait till she shows up tomorrow in perfect voice. All right.
I am mocking you.
You're going to be calling me to heal people now.
Hey, if you can heal the UTEP football program, then I'll become a believer.
I'm a healer, not a miracle worker, okay?
What are you reading for us, Marcus?
Well, you know what? I was driving. I just came from the gym. The only thing I have is a menu, but here we go. You guys ready?
Ready to heal. Right. Ready to feel the healing power of Marcus.
It's going right through the lines, baby. All right, Patty Girl. This is for the Patty Girl. We are going to bring her some bloody wings. Patty doesn't want them. All right. Then bring us some double cheeseburgers. They're just coming to Patty from 93 Chef.
Man. I had no idea.
Are you feeling it, Patty?
I'm feeling the power, man.
Dude, you could so be one of those used car pitchmen.
You're pretty close.
Wow. Man.
Dude, I had to pull over on the freeway for this one.
So he could give it his all.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Marcus, hold on. Thanks for listening, man. Thanks for
calling. Thank you, buddy. Feel better, Patty.
Thank you.
Kiss FM.
You're listening to Mike and Tricia on today's Best Mix, 93.1. Kiss FM.
By the way, that was Tricia using her normal voice today. Yeah.
Rats.
See, she's got some throat issues.
Oh, my God.
Why we're having Emily read the news, mm-hmm. FYI. Hello, Jessica.
Hello.
Happy Halloween, Jessica.
Happy Halloween.
So have you ever been to a corn maze? Have you ever gotten lost at a corn maze?
Been to the corn maze, never have gotten lost.
Really? I'm jealous. I can never find my way out of those things.
Right.
I have to raise the white flag, man.
Well, look, you're that guy?
I'm that guy that if I didn't have a white flag, I would still be there the next morning.
Oh, Lord.
I know. So, Jessica, what non-scary thing will you be reading from?
Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Okay. She's going to read the little nursery rhyme for us using her scariest voice. Go ahead, Jessica.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky.
Golly, I'm scared.
We need a cackle right about there, Jessica.
Oh, let me see.
There it is.
Good job, girlfriend. Good job.
I love it. Jessica, enjoy your weekend at the corn maze. Thank you for listening.
Hold on, Jess.
Thank you for calling.
Kiss FM.
Vanessa. I'm sorry.
Good morning.
I can't say that name now without thinking of Austin Powers.
I know.
Yeah. You ever see that movie, Vanessa?
Only like once.
One time, huh? And nobody ever does that to you? When they say your name, nobody goes, Vanessa. No?
No.
Oh, behave. Nothing? Nothing? Not like that? No? Okay. All right. Well, I think your friends and family are missing a good time.
They totally are.
Well, happy Halloween, Vanessa.
So, happy Halloween.
What are you going to read from that's not scary?
I'm going to read Humpty Dumpty.
Humpty Dumpty, okay. Another nursery rhyme in her scary voice, though. So Humpty Dumpty is going to sound like really scary. All right, Vanessa, go ahead.
Okay. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that.
Especially that mwahaha.
That was a good one.
Yeah, because it sounds like they don't, it's not that they couldn't, it's that they don't want to put him back together again.
That's right.
It does. Okay, Vanessa, congratulations. You're going to go to the Corn Maze this weekend. Kiss FM. Trisha and I, we can't get enough of what they call EVPs in the paranormal district. Did I say district?
Yes.
No, that's not what I meant. You know what I meant.
Community.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So electronic voice phenomena is what it's called. A lot of times it's something that you don't hear, but recorders capture it. And we've got a lot of that this morning. Ramiro Galvan is Paranormal Research Investigations. And I mean that. He is Paranormal Research Investigations. And he is our guest this morning. And he has brought with him audio from what he considers his top three New Mexico hauntings. How many places have you investigated in New Mexico, would you say?
I would have to say easily over 50 places.
Wow. Dang, that's a lot of haunted places.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because especially you usually concentrate on southern New Mexico. Am I correct?
That's correct. We've gone as far as Arizona to spend the night in Tombstone at the Birdcage Theater. So.
Oh, now that's one haunted place, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And here in New Mexico, you sent me your top three. And one of them, we're going to start with number three and work our way down.
Okay.
Number three is a place that you've investigated for many, many years, and recently the Ghost Adventures crew also investigated.
That's correct. In 2016, we did an investigation there, and we caught some, I would consider, some pretty awesome evidence there. And shortly after that, Ghost Adventures contacted us. They said they heard about that, and they chose to set up a film episode there. And what they found pretty much corroborated or ran parallel to what we found there as well.
Now, you're referring to the old Doña Aña County Jail.
That's correct.
You've investigated that one various times, though, because I remember, I think it was 2011, I want to say. In 2011, you had dropped by the radio station during Halloween Week.
Right.
You had some, you know, compelling stuff that you had captured there even as far back as then.
That's correct. And as recently as January of this year, we went back to do a site survey in preparation for the episode. And this is during broad daylight. I'm standing in the hallway, and we're filming down the hallway with a thermal camera, which picks up hot and cold spots. And I asked, is somebody here? Got no response. And I go, well, if you're happy here, bang the bars. We heard down at the end of the hall, mind you, this is a locked, empty building, down at the end of the hall twice, you hear somebody banging the bars.
Oh, and how long has this place been empty? It's been shut down for quite a while.
It has, I believe, since the 1980s. So that place has a long, sordid history. And what happens is that in that place, there was a mysterious death that occurred there. They've had riots. They've had some inhumane living conditions. They've actually had a place on the third floor labeled on the floor plans as the insane room. Now, I went back and I looked at the archives prior to the Ghost Adventures show, folks showing up, and it turns out that on the third floor, they actually had isolation rooms where they would keep people, and basically they would lock them up with no light, no windows, nothing.
Mm.
So imagine you take somebody who already has psychological issues and you stick them in there. You know, the after effects could be tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, there are two in particular, two entities, ghost assists, spirits, whatever you want to call them, in particular, that you've captured more than once.
I believe one of them is Bubba. And then the other one, I believe, is the one who attacked the guy upstairs on the third floor. And actually, I believe Mary Waters is the waitress who died there mysteriously.
Uh-huh.
I would say that we've caught her in the maze area, as I call it.
Okay.
And it sounds like a scream from that area.
Okay. I tell you what, when we come back, I'm going to play some of the clips that he's captured in his most recent investigation, which you said was 2016?
Well, actually, I take that back. For the Doña Aña County Jail, it was 2011, and then we went back and did the site survey in 2017.
Oh, so this year. Kiss FM! It's Halloween kind of show. Ramiro Galvan is our guest. He is with Paranormal Research Investigations. We're talking top three New Mexico hauntings, the top three places that Ramiro himself has investigated and that he considers the most active. Number three is the old Doña Aña County Jail, the same jail that was investigated by the Ghost Adventures crew earlier this year. Years ago, you were there. And let's start with Mary Waters. Tell me about this Mary Waters and why she still haunts the jail.
Well, Mary Waters was a local waitress there that in 1951, a couple of local constables there found her in the street, passed out. They assumed that she was intoxicated, so they took her to jail, and they put her in one of the cells on the first floor. Anyway, shortly after, they closed the door, and from what the records that I found, shortly after they locked the door and walked away, they heard her scream. They ran in there, and they found her dead. But the thing is that her autopsy report was actually changed several times to change the cause of death. Now, I actually found some documentation where there was a correspondence between one of the jailers at that time and a guy who was writing a book about the area. He wrote that when they ran in there to find her, finding her dead, they found her with a terrified look on her face. And the weird part is that her autopsy reports were changed several times to try and point and say that she died from alcohol poisoning at one point. The other point, they said she died from liver failure. And another one changed that said her liver exploded.
Oh, my gosh.
At no point there did it read, though, that she died of fear.
That's what I think that happened there. Something terrified her so much.
And is there a theory as to what it could be?
Well,
was the jail already haunted before that?
Well, see, the thing is, this is not the first place I've investigated that is law enforcement. And in these places that I've been to, and even if you talk to people who work in correctional facilities, they'll tell you weird things happen all the time.
Yeah.
And one of the theories I have is that you stick a bunch of negative people, a lot of people in there with strong negative emotions, a lot of it stays behind.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon it kind of coalesces or comes together and creates something much bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
So, in 1951, the jail had already been having issues. People were, they had had some riots there because of the living conditions. You know, they had, like I said earlier, the insane room where you had people that were being put in there without proper treatment and basically were isolated in dark cells.
Yeah,
So you get all that buildup that goes on in there, and pretty soon it has nowhere to go.
Right.
And more than likely, people who had already died.
Yeah. Well, look, let me play a clip. You tell me after I play the clip what we're listening to.
Oh, man, you got some corners going over here this way, too. It's like a little maze.
Could you hear that in the background?
Yes.
It's very distant, mm-hmm. but it sounds like a woman wailing.
Yes,
it does.
What is the what happened here? What was going on here?
We're going down a hallway, and I call it the maze because this place is literally like a rabbit's hole type thing. You go down one hallway, and you wind up somewhere else, and that takes you somewhere else, and takes you somewhere else. And unless you know your way around, you can actually get lost in this place in broad daylight. So we're going down this one hallway, which I call the maze because it had all these different turns. And we wound up in front of this cell, pitch dark in there. I mean, we're using infrared cameras so we can see where we're at. And we didn't hear it. It was me and one other guy walking down that hallway. We didn't hear anything. And you can hear me say it's like a maze in here.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, when we went to review the audio and video on that, that's when we heard that.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a clip, and it's labeled enhanced and isolated.
It's like a little maze.
Yeah, no, you can
totally hear that.
Hear.
Could you hear that? How about here? Extracted.
It's like a little maze.
Oh, yeah, no.
You hear that?
Even when it's not isolated and extracted,
yeah,
you can totally hear that in the back.
It's like a little maze.
Yeah. Oui.
And then here's another one that's labeled Scream. Mary Scream. What's all that about?
Well, we think that that's Mary as well. If you play that, I believe that's even more isolated there.
Yeah, here it is.
Oh, man.
That was actually sent to me by somebody who had taken a tour of the place. And they sent it to me, said, well, this is what we recorded in the main floor area, near that same area where I caught the initial scream.
Yeah.
And that was sent to me about 2 years later.
Listen to this. Which is a very similar tone to...
It's like a little maze.
Yes.
To that in the background.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like the same one.
Doesn't it, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
So I think Mary Waters is still there, or at least she has not yet moved on.
No, ooh. No, she still sounds terrified,
yes.
quite frankly.
Yes.
All right.
And whatever it was that scared her.
Amita Galvan, Paranormal Research Investigations, New Mexico Hauntings is what we're talking about today. It's Halloween on the show, you know. And so these are his top three. Number three is the old Doña Ana County Jail. We talked about Mary Waters, who you believe died a horrible death there, unexplained death, really. And
correct.
Then there's this guy they call Bubba. And now, is Bubba like a jailer, or was he a prisoner?
Well, we haven't yet. We were unable to determine that, but it appears to be somebody in a position of authority because apparently they like to patrol that first floor area. And Bubba was known by the caretakers there to do mischievous things. They would find things moved around. They would find things suddenly from one room to another when they're going out. I don't remember putting it there.
Mm-hmm.
During the 2011 investigation, we had cameras down there, and we're going into one room, and it's five of us. Also, we get a call from the radio from the base station, which was upstairs. They lost camera feed from one of the cameras on the first floor, facing down the hallway where Bubba has been seen. So two of us went down the hallway to find it, to find what happened. Okay, we thinking somebody must have disconnected the cameras. Anyway, make a long story short, we found the cameras cables disconnected from each other. And the thing is that these are what they call the old BNC connectors where you twist and lock them. So you literally can't pull them
apart.
Yeah,
right, yeah.
We found them about 5 feet apart.
Oh, what? I have a clip from your 2011 investigation. This is a clip where you can hear somebody laughing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the clip. Yeah. So all the talking that you hear are the investigators.
Correct.
You know, and they're walking down a hallway and you know, and they're talking to themselves. That's the echoey stuff you hear. The laugh was not them.
That's correct. We had actually an audio recorder in the area. We had seen shadows during the daylight time. We were there during our daylight survey. So I decided to put an audio recorder right off that hallway there. And that's what it recorded.
Holy Here it cow. Is isolated.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
And then here it is, like, from a different recorder, I believe.
Correct.
See, so it sounds further away because that recorder was further away.
Right.
So yes, it was correct. Captured by more than one recorder.
Oh, my gosh.
But again, none of us heard it. If you're walking around there at pitch dark and you can't see your hand in front of your face and you hear something, I guarantee you, I will need Pampers.
You might already, right? But you would certainly be using them.
And see, that's the thing. I think a lot of people... When they hear this kind of stuff, they go, "Oh, come on!"
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, if you heard somebody laugh like that,
yes,
wouldn't you go? And especially ghost hunters,
right?
Because y'all are very serious about being loud, not whispering, and saying, "Oh, that was me," that you could mark that time,
right?
And so, if you hear something like that, if I had heard something like that in a pitch dark room, I would go, "Yo, what was that?"
See, but the thing is that you guys didn't hear it at the time.
Exactly.
No, we didn't.
This was when you reviewed the tape.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. That's why this kind of thing scares the crap out of me.
Now, this is, I believe at the very beginning you talked about, you know, Bubba possibly banging on bars.
Correct.
All right, jail bars. Here's a clip.
Draw energy from this. This is for you. Use it. Enjoy it.
Did you hear that?
Yes. Yeah.
These guys were in a room further down the hall, and they never heard it. Actually, I take that back. One of the guys, a couple of seconds after that, goes, "Did you hear that? It sounded like somebody banging." But again, the audio recorders down the hallway did not record that. The camera showed absolutely nothing.
Here it is again.
Draw energy from this. This is for you.
Yeah, that was enhanced. And then here it is isolated.
Oh, man.
And when was that? What year was that?
That was in the 2011 investigation.
2011.
Correct.
And 2017, when you went back and you did a preliminary survey for Ghost Adventures.
Correct.
There was also some, bar banging going on.
Correct. Down that same hallway.
Here's that clip.
Come on. Bang one of the bars.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
It was either like a bang bar or a dropping of something.
Well, you can hear two bangs, actually.
Yes.
Let's hear that again.
Come on. Bang one of the bars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's two.
And I've isolated this thing and enhanced it a little.
Bang one of the bars.
Yeah. And you know what? We heard that, actually. But again, we're looking down that hallway. It's broad daylight. And there's nobody down that hallway. There was another survey team. Four architects were with us. Uh-huh. And they were on the opposite end of the building. So even after I heard that, I still said, okay, I'm a skeptic here. Let me go talk to these people. And I asked them flat out, did you drop something? Did you bang on anything, moving something around? They said, mm-hmm. No. We've been over here.
His second most active investigation, you've probably heard about this place. It's a restaurant in Olmecilla.
Yeah.
Have you heard about the Double Eagle restaurant?
A little bit.
Right? Interestingly enough, it's the other place that Ghost Adventures investigated when they were in town doing the Las Cruces Ghost Adventures episode.
Correct.
Now, while I get stuff in order, give us a brief story behind the Double Eagle hauntings.
Well, the Double Eagle always has had the stories about the star-crossed lovers there, Inez Armando and the mother, Carlotta, that... He was the son of a wealthy Spanish family there. The Carlotta was his mother. Inez was a servant girl who he fell in love with. One day the mother came home and caught him in a somewhat of a delicate situation. She went to stab Inez in a fit of anger. And the story goes that Armando stood...
I'm sorry, go on.
Okay, is that somebody going on?
Yeah.
Okay, Armando, I hear you. So Armando stood up and tried to defend her, and the mother stabbed Armando, and he subsequently died in her bedroom. So hence they have a room called the Carlotta Room.
Uh-huh.
So the stories are that Armando and Inez and Carlotta are often seen in there. But the thing is that there's other stories there that people have reported, they have seen, and it actually... This figure that they've seen is one of a little girl. And even in some of the wait staff, I don't know if you ever saw the episode, they interviewed one of the waitresses who said their woman came walking in from one of the rooms and told her she was looking for her daughter. But she was dressed in the older style clothing. And then a couple of minutes later, the woman appeared again and told her, I found her. Now, the Double Eagle restaurant building is actually, if you look at it, it's a joined building. It's a huge building. They've got multiple stores there. Well, we talked to the owners and some of the staff of the other locations. They all have seen a little girl in their stores.
Eek.
So apparently she travels between in that particular building.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things we focused on was, okay, everybody focuses on Inez, Armando, and Carlotta, but now let's focus on the little girl and see what we can find.
Now, is that what you think you captured in the kitchen area?
You know, it sounds like a very young voice.
It does.
And... I'm not, you know, I don't want to tell people right now what I think it says. I'll let you play it if you want.
I'm going to play it first, and then you tell us what you think it says. Here's that clip from when they were walking through the kitchen area.
Bump into?
Oh, sorry.
Which way you want to start? This way or this way?
This way.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, right there at the end before he starts to speak again, which I clipped off, you can hear what sounds like I guess it was an O or something. I'm not really...
Yeah, when I listened to it and, you know, I played it over and over and over, it sounds like a young girl saying 12. Now, whether she's saying 12, I mean...
12 or O?
Could be
Why
O
would she
or 12.
Be saying 12, though?
Because the lady who was working with us that night was a psychic medium. She described a girl there in ponytails or pigtails wearing one of those, like, poofy dresses.
Uh-huh.
And she said she was between 7 and 10 years of age.
Oh.
Oh, so that might explain why this could be...
It does.
12.
And see, the interesting thing is we were in the dining room that adjoins the kitchen. So shortly before we started entering in the kitchen, the lady who was working with us said, okay, you know, and started describing her, said, well, she's between 7 and 10 years of age. Then, of course, this was recorded. And my perception on this is that she's correcting us. She's going, I'm not 10.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I'm... Yeah. Oh, it does sound like 12.
Because there's definitely distinctly two syllables.
Yeah, she goes, twa.
Mm.
Yeah. And again, we didn't hear that either. So, I mean, I guarantee you, and you're walking into a pitch dark kitchen.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you, if I heard that,
Yeah.
Dude, you are so brave.
I know, right?
Dark
I
room,
know.
Are you kidding?
Or, no offense, stupid.
Crazy.
I think my wife would agree with you on the latter part.
Kiss FM.
Hello, week on Mike and Tricia Mornings. Ramiro Galvan, Paranormal Research Investigations, our guest. His top three New Mexico hauntings. Let's review. Number three was the old Doña Ana County Jail, home to Bubba. And Mary. Number two was the Double Eagle Restaurant, home to a lot of ghostesses that you've heard about before and one that you may not. And you think that her name is Alicia?
Yeah, the lady I was working with, again, that's the name she kept picking up, was Alicia.
Who, by the way, is not 10, is 12, my friend.
That's right.
She's 12.
Right.
That's right. And that brings us to your number one most active New Mexico investigation, Roy's Gift Gallery in Carrizo.
Carrizoso.
Carrizoso.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. Did I misspell it there?
No, I mispronounced it here. So why is this your number one most active investigation?
Well, it's a small town. Population around 910 based on the last census. And you drive, you know, many people take the back road to go to Colorado. They take 54, and they drive through that town. They may stop there for gas, stop at the store to go to the bathroom or get snacks. But many people drive by and don't realize that this Roy's Gift Gallery is there on that road. And I happen to be in Carrizoso as part of my job doing work there, and I saw this place, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's curious. Maybe I'll get some ice cream afterwards. So I parked my vehicle next to the building, got out. And all of a sudden, I started looking up at the second floor. I felt like there was somebody up there looking at me. I just didn't see anything, but I just got this intense feeling. So when I walked into the store and I said, oh, you know, I'm going to try some of your ice cream. By the way, this is what I felt out there. And the guy looked at me and goes, that's not unusual. Mind you, I've never been to this place. He says, that's not unusual. He goes, we get people that see a woman standing up there all the time. And I'm like, oh, well. Can we talk? And so that led to the investigation where we got to spend the night there. And it started off as a drugstore in 1909, and then they added a hospital in 1917.
Ah,
as a second
there it
floor.
Is.
Hospital.
There it
yeah.
is, the hospital.
And the whole building is actually made out of adobe, but then it's got a brick facade. So the story that the people who run it right now are saying that they would hear voices, footsteps on the second floor, that kind of stuff. So I went up there, and I did a daylight walkthrough. And nobody has lived up there for years. They've turned off the electricity up there as well. There's no electricity at all because they have all the old aluminum wiring, which is unsafe. So there's nobody up there. So we got to spend the night there. And I'm going to tell you what we recorded, what was filmed in there, I still cannot figure it out. I mean, no matter how I try to wrap my brain around it.
Yeah, yeah, you can't explain it.
Can't do it.
Here's a clip that is labeled Exodus. Apparently you guys went on a break.
Yes, we left. What we typically do is we'll go investigate. We'll do it about an hour or two, and we take a break. We'll walk out, leave the building, and lock it up, and leave the equipment running, because we feel that we've gone in there, we've kind of stirred things up.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's give them a chance to kind of reorganize.
Okay. Well, this one, it sounds like they were exasperated with you guys being there. Listen.
And that was recorded on the second floor in a small kitchen area where they have seen a woman dressed like a nurse.
Mm. Yeah. Well, she sounds
She's
like she was
of
all
nonsense.
She was all like FML.
Exactly.
Listen, listen.
God.
Now, they had patient rooms up there also, because they also used to do, they had two surgery rooms up there, so they had recovery rooms after that, and they had other patient rooms. So the kitchen area where this was recorded was where all the patients would ring from their rooms, and it would ring in this kitchen area. So whatever they needed, the nurse that was stationed there would have to respond no matter what time of day.
How many nurses haven't had it up to here
yes.
with patients ringing them?
I was going to say.
That totally explains the size. I love that. Okay, here's another clip. This is Roy's Gift Gallery in Carrizoso.
Correct.
It's a National Historic Landmark, by the way, so don't just drive through there and grab your burger and go.
Right.
Pay this place a visit. This one is a little more visual than it is an audio kind of thing, because you almost have to see the reaction of the investigator to what you're about to hear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be when we were on the second floor, and we're filming, and I'm down the hallway. We've actually got a temperature. It's called a melmeter, which measures temperature, ambient air temperature, and EMF fields. And whatever was there started changing the temperature on us. I mean, we were like, okay, can you change it to this? and it would do that.
Uh-huh. And so you're going to hear the clip, and there's a certain point in the video where I think you labeled her Denise, where
yes.
she steps partly into a room and then just jumps out of there. Do you hear that last part
yes.
where he goes, oh,
yes.
that's her. She steps back into the room, kind of, you know, because it's almost like she's in the way of the other person. And when she steps into a room, she jumps out of there, makes that little noise, jumps out of there, and runs down the hallway.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Like I said, it's more of a visual thing. Ruben Barasa, one of our investigators, was setting up a camera up there. Mind you, it's pitch dark. And Denise, Charlene, that she joined us. That was her very first investigation. And so they're setting up this camera, and she's, like you said, she steps back into this room, and all of a sudden she jumps. Like she goes, and then she runs down the hall.
Yeah,
she does.
Uh-huh. Here it is again. It's labeled enhanced and looped. I don't know what that was, but that was the sound right before you hear her go, ah,
yeah.
and she runs. Did she ever explain to you what happened?
She said that she just heard somebody and felt somebody right behind her.
Oh, man.
Now, to me, that sounds like somebody's going, hi.
Sorta. Let's hear that again. That's right. That's right. You hear hi. The, I don't know where that's from. That must be somebody talking?
No.
Or was that Frankenstein?
Don't know who that was, I'll be honest with you. There could be two people.
There could have been two of them. Listen. And then here's the original. What?
And that was the room right next to where the nurse was at, where the nurse
has
been seen.
Sorry, but it sounds to me like he's saying... hang.
And that could be?
Hang?
Yeah.
Like, what would you, why
like,
would you be saying hang?
It sounds menacing.
Ah.
It sounds very, I get nothing but menace from
okay.
that voice.
All right. Here's another, again, from Royce Gift Shop in Carrizozo. Upstairs kitchen recorded on Sony camera.
Correct. We had a camera there. We were recording. And again, you know, we can't explain that.
Okay.
Feel free to go ahead and speak into any devices that we have. It was a window.
Okay. Was that the window?
No, because when we were standing there, that's Aaron recording there. He's standing down at the end of the hall, and so when he heard that noise, the first thing we're thinking, okay, natural explanation, let's see what we can do. He find, you know, so to him, there was a broken window to it, so he says, well, it's probably that, you know. But afterwards, when we went to review, we found something different.
Feel free to go ahead and speak into any devices that we have.
What was that?
That was a window.
Oh, man.
What did it say?
I'm kind of, the jury is still out on that one, but it sounds like a female voice to
it
me.
It totally is.
It's totally
feel free
a whisper
to go ahead
something.
And speak into any devices
Here
that
is.
We have.
I'm enhancing it. See, and if you, and that's the same.
It was a window.
Okay. Except that audio is from a digital audio recorder. The other one was from the camera that they were using to film. So
play
the camera
again.
Didn't pick it up, but the audio recorder.
Don't play here. She's telling you to get the hell out. She's saying, don't play here.
It kind of does sound like don't play here.
Yeah, now that you mention it, yeah.
Oh,
and the thing is that sound, that bang sound or tap sound, like somebody knocked on wood, happened right after that EVP.
It sounds like she's going, don't play here. And then she like I'm
don't
serious.
Don't play here.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? If she's the nurse that controls that whole area.
Yeah.
Don't play here.
Yeah. See, this one's labeled footsteps.
Two. Okay. You hear those footsteps?
Yeah.
Hear
that? Three footsteps?
Did we hear footsteps? Let me play this one.
One, two.
There they are.
Can I hear those footsteps? Yeah.
And again, this is the difference between the camera audio, which is the first you heard, and the second was a digital recorder.
Correct.
Recorders tend to catch more than cameras do.
Right.
That's correct. Yeah.
Audio-wise.
Correct. That one, the entire night we were there, we would hear footsteps. Always five footsteps. And it was always on the second floor. And we were down in around the midsection of that hallway on the second floor, and we would hear the footsteps walking toward us.
Oh, God.
But we would look down. There's nobody there.
Oh, man. And here's the final one. This is labeled Basement EVP.
Oh, yeah. That one, before you play that one, I have to tell you a little bit of background on that.
Okay.
So we're walking. They tell us they have a basement. So they have a, like Adam's Family, they have this trap door that creaks open. And you walk down these wooden steps, and everything's creaking. And they have a basement that was dug out, and there's boards there that hold up the like retaining walls. And they still have the old pharmacy stuff in there. They still have prescriptions. They have old medicine, that kind of thing. And so she's telling us as we're walking down the stairs, she's saying, "Oh yeah, you know, they used to hold." Oh, sorry, that was my snorting there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm getting a little overly excited here. All right, let me mark that.
After he said pharmaceuticals, you noticed he snorted.
He snorted.
Like,
oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, a little Freudian slip there. So, as we're walking down the stairs, the wife is telling us, she goes, "You know, this used to be a morgue." And I'm like, "Get out."
Oh, crap.
She says, "Yeah." She goes, "What happened is that sometimes they used to have a morgue next door, but it was only big enough to hold two bodies at a time." Now, mind you, when the hospital was around 1917, so we're having Spanish flu,
right,
tuberculosis, people were passing away. So they needed some place to store them. So the basement was the coolest area in town. So
mm-hmm.
She said in the basement, that's where they would store the bodies. And they had a chute off to the side. She goes, and that's where they would bring the bodies in and take the bodies out.
Okay, this is the basement EVP.
I don't know where we would set this up, Jody.
That wasn't you guys?
That was not us.
They're setting up the cameras, which is what they're talking about. They're setting up the cameras.
I don't know where we would set this up, Jody.
Stop. He's saying stop.
He's saying just stop.
Just stop.
Just stop.
Oh,
let's
God.
See.
Please stop.
Please stop.
Please stop. Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
I don't hear that one anymore.
Oh, wow.
And you know what? The interesting thing is that, it's on video. Unfortunately, there's nothing on audio. We left the building around 3 o'clock in the morning, and we set up a video camera there. And around, I'd say probably about 3:45, 4 o'clock, the cameras that was down there recorded five mysterious lights appear on the side of the wall.
Oh, God.
And they appeared, and they were there for a couple of minutes, and then they slowly disappeared. But the interesting thing is when they started manifesting, they appeared like footsteps.
Ah.
So there was five luminous lights,
uh-huh,
all matched five footsteps, and they appeared like somebody was walking up the wall.
Oh, wow. Man, this has been fascinating.
Yikes.
You've been listening to Mike and Tricia Mornings. For more, visit KissElPaso.com or download the 93.1 KISS FM app for free to your iPhone or Android.